I think something to be aware of is that you can look at representations of what is blasphemous and mistake it for blasphemy. So the thing to be aware of, and I think what we're being pointed to through the word, is that the proprium is nothing but blasphemous. That's what's being pointed out. So you can see external examples of it, but those examples just point back to a condition that exists within every human heart. And it's our unwillingness to look, to see that, that gets us seeing that people can be blasphemous. But if you remove the idea of person, then what you track back to is the condition as described here of Pharaoh, which is in us all. So the work is always about coming back to seeing these things in ourselves, right? So if you're going to engage with the word and you're going to use truths from the word to do the work of self-examination, then you initiate this process that's described here, or that process is initiated by that act. And the uncovering of the nature of proprium is what this work is about. Because unless you see you are in hell, you won't want out of it. And that's why you have this progressive manifestation of various elements. And coming to terms with the fact that proprium is nothing but blasphemous is different to seeing some people are blasphemous and some people aren't. It's just not how it is. It's the appearance. And that appearance is some of the falsities that have to be cleared out. Because when we view things in terms of compare and contrast, we are there in the middle in ourself, in our own love of self and love of the world, looking for comparisons whereby we can elevate ourselves over others in terms of, well, I'm not that bad. Or sometimes it can be a whole state of self-pity. I'm worse than everybody. No, you're just in the deepest hell without the Lord's helping hand. So that's what we have to keep coming back to. And when we lose sight of that, then we fall into confusion because we're working in the realm of appearances. Appearances so far as my sense of self is concerned, and that it is something substantial and autonomous and independent, and everything else flows out of that. And of course, what life does, it doesn't matter who you are, life constantly brings you back to having to defend myself, which indicates that there's a problem with that self. If it has to be defended and constantly shored up and affirmed and, you know, all of that stuff that comes through the whole identity, ideology kind of realm, then it's obvious that it's something that can be lost. And if it can be lost, it's not real. And it's miles away from where the Lord is at, who is the only reality. And so what Revelation seeks to do is to peel back all those layers so that we come to a place of acceptance. And that acceptance is that, you know, it's not about whether I'm going to go through this or I'm not going to go through this. This process will unfold. It's the word of the Lord. The Lord has spoken it. But while I'm in a sense of self, I can look at it as a choice. If I do the right thing, this will happen. If I do the wrong thing, this will happen. And on a certain level, that's right. But it's kind of an intermediate level. The reality is that what is of self has to be exposed. And so in that sense, it's not a choice about if I do this, I'll be okay. And if I do this, I won't be. It's a case of engage with the word, use truths for the purpose which they're given, and accept the process, accept what is being presented to the best that you can. And then the way unfolds